Scripture reading this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews. We don't really know who wrote this letter, but it has a lot of good things to say. So from Hebrews 12, "Let us lay aside everything that impedes us and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race laid out for us. Let us not lose sight of Jesus, who leads us in our faith and brings us to perfection. For the sake of the joy to come, Jesus endured the cross, heedless of its shame, and now sits at the right side of God's throne. Think of Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." It's a word from our ancient and holy scriptures. Just recently, a friend and I were conversing, and she shared this theory with me that I thought, well, that's interesting, because she seemed to subscribe to this theory. She said that that people are born with a certain number of heartbeats. Now, we all know that's true. We only have a certain. But she said, if you can look after yourself well and get your heart rate down, you can live longer. Because you don't use up those heartbeats. And I'm like, okay, interesting theory. Whatever. I don't know if I agree with that. Who knows? But I do know that at some point in time, our hearts will stop because we have exhausted all of our heartbeats, no matter how many they are, whether they are numbered or not. And it got me thinking. If we only have so many heartbeats in our lifetimes, how do I want to use my heartbeats? And how do I want to use the rest of my heartbeats? What is it that my heart beats for? What does your heart beat for? The scripture we just heard from Hebrews speaks of running a race, a very intense race, probably one that brings your heartbeat up, not down. A race that is so important that we're to put aside anything that hinders us from running that race so that we can run with all we have towards a particular goal. What's the goal? What's the race that we're running? In our case, or the case of people who consider themselves Jesus followers, the goal is actually not a what. What is the goal? It's a who. Our ultimate win or purpose is to become most fully who we are in Christ. That's the race we're running. That's our goal, to be most fully ourselves in Christ. In essence, we are to become like Christ in the world. So our goal, actually, is very clear. A few years ago, I introduced a new word to you, I think, or to most of you. I don't know if you remember it. Coddywomple. Do you remember the word? Coddywomple. That's fun. To coddywomple is to set out purposely on a journey, not knowing where you're going. To get going and do something purposefully and not know where that is. I actually think a lot of us, a lot of the world coddywomples through life. We're really busy doing things, not knowing where we're supposed to get to. That's coddywompling. And we're very busy at it. Without really knowing where we're headed, we just keep pushing through. That's not the case with Christians. We're very clear that we are to be little Christs. That's what the name Christian means, a little Christ. That's our ultimate destiny or goal. And is that the race we're running? Is that the race that you're running? We really tend to be very distracted as humans and very busy by everything that's going on all around us and in our own lives. So, coddywomple, don't forget, Lots of us cottywampled, because I'm going to introduce another new word to you. I learned a new word this week. Dumbfungled. I have to really think about saying that one right. Dumbfungled. It's a Scottish word that means to be mentally and physically worn out. I think this is what's going on in a lot of lives today. We have a lot of dumbfungled people around us who are mentally and physically and spiritually worn out. People are busier than ever these days. Why? Why are we so busy and tired and worn out? And it's not necessarily, well, it's definitely not because we're supposed to be busy. Bible doesn't even tell us we're supposed to be productive. It's because of the demands and the expectations that we place on ourselves and others place on us, and the culture that we live in places on us. We don't think we're being very good humans unless we are busy and tired. So we need to be reminded sometimes that the race that we are meant to run in this life presents or produces the opposite results of being tired and worn out. By setting our sights on Christ, it settles us into a place of peace where we are ourselves and who we were meant to be. That Christ nature that is already in us, that grounds us and gives us a new perspective on the chaos of the world. When we follow the right path for us, when we follow Jesus with our hearts, lives change. And the world changes when people become fully who they are meant to be. And the burden that Christ gives us is much lighter than the one that the world gives us. That's the race I want to run. That's the lane I want to get in and stay in. My brother just got a new vehicle recently. You know, one of these fancy ones, these SUVs that have all the bells and whistles. I have an old car. I have none of that. So I don't see that kind of stuff or whatever. But he's describing some of the features on this vehicle, and I'm kind of curious about it because someday I'll be in the market for a new vehicle. And he said one of the things that he found fascinating on it is the lane assist. You know, where you turn it on and it helps you to stay right in the center, like lane centering, right in the center of the lane. I'm sure some of you have that on your vehicles, right? So within the first week of getting this vehicle, he wanted to see how that worked. So he turns it on and he gets on the highway and he takes his hands off the wheel to see if it'll take a curve. He said it did perfectly. And then it said, put your hands back on the wheel. I think that's what we need for life. I need something that's going to keep me in my lane while I keep my hands on the wheel. Jesus is the assist, but it's still our race to run. Running this race, committing to our own spiritual growth above all things, does change us. It helps us to become more loving and kind, to treat people with respect and thoughtfulness, to express the joy and awe and of wonder and wonder of life, of this creation that God has given us. And we too often get too distracted by everything else to recognize that that's the lane we're supposed to be in. The lane that doesn't make us dumbfungled, but the lane that gives us peace and rest. It helps us to embrace our imperfections and to forgive them in others, to not concern ourselves with what others think of us, because that's not the ultimate test of who we are, what anybody else thinks of us. the kind of change, the kind of transformation that comes about because of our following of Jesus is evident to everyone. And as much of the world moves towards distrust and cynicism, we are moving more towards love and acceptance and joy. And this is what happens if we're willing to set our sights on what we need to set our sights on and stay in our lanes. As the world continues to evolve and change around us, what we need more than ever in this world is spiritual people who stay in their lanes and exude light in a world that appears to be getting darker. Staying in our lane means that people will begin to see that following Christ really does transform us in a very positive and meaningful way. And it also models another way for people who are seeking something like that. It shows up in very tangible ways in our lives. Here are some of the ways. We don't let the political environment distract us from setting our sights on being better people and making the world a better place. We don't focus on all the negativity and division that people are sowing these days, but we promote more acceptance and reconciliation in the world. We don't get caught up in the fear-mongering or repeating hateful opinions and gossip, and we certainly don't start any of those things. We don't pit ourselves against anyone. We strive to build people up and bring out the very best in all people. We will support people when they're struggling. We will contribute to the initiatives that bring about justice and peace. We will love those close to us more and more. We will give our support to whoever is doing good in the world and love our neighbors whether or not we agree with their ideas or opinions. We are to go out into the world to spread light, to spread goodwill and joy. Publicly, or to be very public about who we are. This is our lane. When we stream out of here on a Sunday morning, that's our lane to go out into the world. Follow whatever lanes you get to your house and then spread that light in your communities. It is the clearest lane we can find today. One of the things we know for sure about life in this world is that things will always change. Nothing will stay the same. And if we allow ourselves to be set back by the constant change that's going on around us, the race will not go well. Life requires adaptation and acceptance of both the good and of the bad. The one constant we can depend on is that there will be change. And we don't want to be thrown off course by any of it. We cannot be constantly influenced and affected by whatever forces are swirling around us. When we remain firmly in our lane and look ahead to what is before us, we won't be influenced by everything that is around us. We will certainly be aware of what's going on in the world. We just won't be affected by it like other people are. We will help others to run the race best if we run it well ourselves. There's another thing that I know for sure. Running the race we're meant to run brings a lot more love and peace, joy, and contentment in our lives. And running the world's race just brings around the opposite. God's race does not leave us dumbfungled. It produces rest for the soul, Jesus said. Love in our hearts, a lightness of being, and a gratitude for life, no matter what's going on. Not an easy race, but it certainly is worth it. Something struck me in the scripture this week that I had never noticed before. It says, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside everything that impedes us and the sin that so easily entangles us. The sin that the writer is implying is anything. Anything that causes us not to run the race well, not to be our best selves. I used to think that these clouds of witnesses that the writer was speaking about were those who had gone before us. Sort of this heavily angelic group of people who are witnesses. I'm wondering if it doesn't mean the witnesses who are all around us today, who are watching whether we are staying in our lane and living out our faith the best way we can. Are we not saying that we're willing to be accountable to what we are doing in our lives because of what we believe in? How much forgiveness we extend, how solid we are when things are difficult, how kind and generous we are to our families, our strangers, everybody we love. If these are the qualities we espouse as Jesus followers, then they really would be evident to everyone around us, no matter where we are or who we're with. That we are running the race we say we are. Sometimes I need a course correction. Forget it. Lots of times I need a course correction. Things of this world get really distracting and can discourage and disappoint us. I want to set my sights on the race that brings about the best results for my life and for the world. It makes the race so much easier when we know our lane and we stay in it. What are you going to do with the heartbeats you have left? Let's take a moment for reflection.